characterism of the disciple?
They listen.
They listen. What else would you say?
Engaging the discipler.
Yeah. And so today we will look at 2 Timothy 2, and we'll look at how Paul looked at Timothy. Because we know who Paul is. Paul once was that guy, you know, Saul was persecuted the church, but on Damascus, he was blinded. In which now he's one of the most interesting person of the Bible. And we could say, if I take an estimated guess, he probably wrote mostly 7% of it, of the Bible, things like that. We'll say that. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong. And so, as we see that, we see Paul invests his life into Timothy. And so, as we look at 2 Timothy, verse 1, we see he says this, talking to Timothy, he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ." And so, as we go through here, we look at this. We look at the first characteristic of how Paul looked at Timothy. He looked at him as a son. Now, the question is, it's like, and this points back to Christ saying like this, man, we ought to be sons of Christ. We are children of God of Christ. And so we see Timothy was discipling Paul, and we see that Paul looked at Timothy as a son. But let's look at it as this. We are sons in Christ. We are sons and daughters of Christ. And so that points back to Christ. But a scripture that reminds me of something that we go to 1 Corinthians 4:16 to 17, where Paul says this, "Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he reminds you of my way which are in Christ. This I teach everywhere in every church." So in Corinthians, we see Paul sends Timothy in behalf of him. Because he says, oh, Timothy knows what I know. And so out of character as a son, you have someone that can you call your Timothy, that image you. And we see this in Christ and how Christ imaged, how we ought to be sons of Christ and how we're also supposed to be image bearers of Christ. So we look at Paul as he imaged Paul and Timothy, but we point that back to Christ and see how we ought to be image bearers of Christ. And so that's how they look at that. And so we should be able to be image bearers of Christ. Now we go to, so as we go down, we go to 2 Timothy verse 3, which it says, "Suffer hardship with me as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. No soldier in acts of service entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlists him as a soldier." So we see this. Now we go to our second characteristic, which is a soldier. Now, as we look at this, it says, a good soldier suffers hardship when in acts of service and doesn't entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life. So we see Paul talking to Timothy saying, we ought to be like a soldier in active duty that doesn't get entangled in worldly affairs. We see this, we must stay on guard daily, for we are at war between flesh and spirit. And Christ has called us to war because he enlisted us into this battle. So we see Paul enlisted Timothy, but it points back to Christ and how Christ enlisted us as of being a soldier in the war. And so we see 1 Timothy 1:8, where Paul talks to Timothy, says, "This command I trust to you, Timothy. My son is in accordance with the prophecy previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keep your faith and a good conscience, and with how some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regards to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan so that they will be taught not to blaspheme." So we see Paul sending this letter to Timothy saying, man, keep the faith, keep the good fight, because many have went to war and many have suffered and now have given up on him. And so he's saying, this is war. He's saying, be diligent and be ready and be on guard and do not entangle yourself with worldly things, whether it's lustful, youthful lust, but do not entangle yourself into worldly things, but keep the faith and fight the good fight, because it's a war. And so as we see that, it goes to my third characteristic, which is 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. It says, "Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules." Now, as we go to the third one, we look at this. An athlete, which is, we can say, a Greek word for athleo, which it means the term means contend in battle, to engage in struggles, to contend in games, to be an athlete and to hold games. Fitness and body and mind was a very high held. It was a very so fitness and mind was a high held Greek culture value. So the thing is, like, man, have you ever competed in anything? Fit in anything? So it's like, man, whether it's spades, whether it's dominoes, or rather, let's say, sports. For me, I was an athlete, and so that was a continuously practice mode. Like, man, if I gotta do this, I gotta be ready. But you know, the game of dominoes have rules, game of spades have rules. Sometimes we don't always play by the rules. I'm like, we just go in there and we change the rules. But I'm like, but we know that God's word never changed. And so we looked at that like, man, God has given us a rule, it has given us a scripture to provide by. We should use scripture to be ready and compete. You know what I'm saying? God has given us a guide to go by, a training manual, which is scripture, to be ready for to compete. And so we look at this and says, man, have you ever? So we must become the best in the situation God has given us a training manner. And we must be like an athlete that is trained and ready to compete for the glory of God. And so as we see that, 1 Corinthians 9:24 says this: do you not know that those who run in a race all run? One and one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. So to win a game, you must go according to the rule, right? And so as we know the rules and able to train according to the rules, we're able to win. And so we look at this as this. We must be able to train biblically as we look through the word to be able to be trained daily. Because it's just like to train, you must meditate day and night. And so scripture says meditate day and night on the word so that you may be able to be ready. And so as we train, we're able to compete better, more being more close to Christ and be able to share what we learn. And so as we continue going down, we look at verse 6. It says, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his shares of the crop. And so we see this, it says, so I look at this as, if you think of a farmer, what does a farmer do? Anyone?
Plant crops,
right? And so he plants crops daily. And he do that daily. And so, as a farmer, he's out there plowing and planting seeds and watering plants.
Cultivating.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And so, and it's either raining, sunny, he's there in hard conditions. And so we see this. We must be like farmers that scatter out seeds, and not only scatter, they water in and out of season. And the least likely weather, a farmer kept the seeds. He or she is responsible. So for this, we ought to be able to scatter seeds as a sharing the gospel, but also care for them. And so, as we look at this, it says this. John 17:4 says, I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. And so, God has given us the opportunity to scatter. But also, as we scatter and care for the seed, we're able to glorify the Lord through that. And so, we go to Colossians 1:28. It says, we proclaim him a modest in every man and teach every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, as we are going to see it out, as we're watering, we're teaching others, and as we teach others, putting it back to the former aspect of, we see Christ discipling his people, and as he's watering them with the word of God, as he's washing them, and as he's growing them into the word, we ought to do the same thing as we're pointed to Christ, as we're pointed to those other ones, as we can call our plants. As we set a seed, we're able to have that plant and grow it up to be more like Christ. And so we also look at this. 1 Corinthians 3:5-8 says this: what then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servant through whom you believe, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's fields, God's building. So we ought to be a hard worker farmer, laboring the ground, cultivating the ground, and able to point it back to Christ. Because as you're laboring for Christ, everyone has everyone receives his own reward according to his own labor. As we're pointing this more to be more like Christ. Now, as we look at this, a discipleship is, so we look at scripture. So we look at verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as workmen, who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But it says this. And so we look at this, and we look at the other characteristics of this, a workman. A workman is precise. And we must be like a workman that is precise, like a masonry, a carpenter, building bricks, and things like that. It says that they precisely do things, they do those things precisely. We must be able to correctly handle the word when falsities is close. So if you ever think of someone that build houses or someone that do carpentry, you look at it like, man, if one thing is wrong, you'll be able to see it. Let's say a brick house, build a brick house. One brick, it can cause the whole house to break down. So that's more of that. Like a workman is precise with what they do. And so we know that Christ was a carpenter, right? He was a carpenter. And so he precisely did things and precisely telling the word and things like that. And so scripture comes to mind, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training and righteousness, so that you, men of God, be accurately equipped for every good works. So being able to accurately handle the word and be able to push it out and defend what you know. And also, we look at Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word which is accordant with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort and sound doctrine and refuse to all contradictions. So being able to be a workman precise and to defend those who do not actively handle the word. And so we look at this. And so we go to the next one, which a disciple must be like a vessel, which a vessel is described as two. In the scripture that says this is, now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and an earthen, and some to honor and some to dishonor. We ought to be a vessel to honor God. And as we do that, we must be willing to be a vessel for God's glory. We must allow God to flow through a healthy vessel. And so we are instruments of God. As he flows through us, we're able to bear image of him through the vessel. And so, as we look at scriptures, Acts 9:15, it says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And so, look through that, God allows us to be instruments for his glory. And as we look at 2 Corinthians 4:17, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not for ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. As a vessel of Christ, we look at Christ and how he was beaten, how he was persecuted and things like that. But as being a vessel and image of him, we will be persecuted, we will be pushed, but we must honor God and as being the image of him. And so we come to our last one, which is, it says, we ought to be a bond servant, which we look at verse 24. The Lord's bond servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient with wrong. And so we see this. As a bond servant, a disciple serves like Christ. And we should be a servant. We must be a bond servant. We must learn how to serve like Christ, for Christ served by giving up his life. But we must understand how to serve with dying to self and counting others. So what comes to mind is Matthew 28:20. Is a verse that says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. And so come to mind is like Luke 9:2-3. It says, if I quote this right, it says this. But God said, if you want to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross daily and deny yourself daily to follow me. I think that's probably GKV, so we'll see how that goes. And so, but we see that Christ says, man, you must be able to deny yourself, a constant battle of, man, maybe serving when you don't want to. But being able to be more like Christ is the goal, because Christ was the true faithful servant, the true person that served in a matter of heart. And so we look at this, And we look at this and see that, man, we ought to be like Christ in a matter of times where it's tough as to be. Because we see Christ does that. You see, Christ does that in all of the strictest things. 1 second. And so another scripture that comes to mind is Titus 1:7. It's coming out of Titus. It says, since an overseer managed God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not giving drunks, not bothered, not pursuing dishonest gains. And so we see that you must be able to serve not for your glory, but for God's glory. Pushing off things for your glory, but to be more like Christ, because Christ was a servant. And as he's been a servant, we ought to be like that. And so all these characteristics points back to Christ and how, man, Christ looked at us as sons and daughters. We see Paul looked at Timothy as a son. Christ looked at us as sons and daughters in Christ. So we see that. Then as we go down, we see as a soldier. Christ looked at us as soldiers in his army. We go to battle every day between flesh and between the spirit. So understand war. We don't get entangled with other things. You ever heard of spiritual warfare? Things like that. We're in the warfare of battle. And so as we go to that, then you look at this. And we always go back to as athletes, we must be able to compete according to what God has given us as a training manual to be able to be stronger, to be able to compete for God's glory. And as we go down to this, we must be like a hard-working farmer that labored the ground, scattering the seeds, but also caring for that seed. Then we go down and we look at it, we must be like a workman that's precise. Be able to accurately handle the word and to be able to defend it, but also be able to care for others by accurately handling the word. And also, we go back to this. So we also should be a vessel. And we must be a tool for God as an instrument, being able to bear, you know, the hard struggles, but being more like Christ and allowing God to flow through us for his glory. And now let's go down here. We must be like a bondservant. We must serve like Christ. But we see that Christ died on the cross for our sins. He served and he gave his own life. And that's one great servant action that he chose. Serving is not mouth words, but it's more of an action. And so we go back and see that, man, Christ loves us so much that he gave his life. And so, anyone have any questions or anything about this? Any questions, Tom, for Q&A?
Now, where can I buy the GKV?